council is about. That's my request.
Okay. Any other announcements? Do we have any first time, oh, I'm sorry. Any other announcements? Do we have any first time visitors with us this morning? Everybody's been here? Good, we're glad you're back. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests that we need to mention at this time? What's her name? Eunice Bradley? Okay. Even if you did have to bring Bill, we're glad you're back. For a moment of silence, remembering those we have mentioned, those that are on our prayer list, and our armed forces, wherever they may be stationed at. Do you bow your heads for a moment of silence? Worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive if everyone will turn their bulletin please. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me. O come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For the Lord is our God. We are the Lord's people, the flock that God shepherds.
All creatures of our God and King.
Created all things, and your words speak of a time when all of creation shall praise you and shall be around the throne and offering praise to you. Lord God, as we come into this place this day, we come to offer that praise that we can offer. We thank you for the privilege. We thank you for calling us. But Lord, we thank you for making us and letting us being a part of your great world. And we thank you for the blessings of the world that we enjoy. Your creation, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge you as Lord of all. Thank you. Thank you for letting us be your people and being our God. And thank you that when we rebelled against you, sinned, and fell short of your glory, that you sent Jesus to redeem us. Lord, we come to worship. We pray that it could be in spirit and in truth as your word calls us to worship. And we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please state your faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Come to the time where we confess our sin to God. Our call to confession today comes from 1 Samuel 7:6. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." Now in unison, Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, You shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed, and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth You made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us to trust Your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness. Then I acknowledged my sin to You, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and You forgave the guilt of my sin.
Hymn 352, Child of the King. Let's sing the first and the last. First and the last.
come to the time of our service where we express our thanks to God by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Would our ushers come forward at this time?
Gathering at the Lord's table. One way that we honor Him by being obedient to His mandate, our command. One way we remember Him and the great sacrifice He suffered or He went through for us, for our redemption. And one way that we look for His return, He told us to do this until He returns. Also, an acknowledgement of His living presence with us. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church concerning the celebration of the Lord's Supper, sacrament. I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. So he had already passed it on to the Corinthian Christians. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." With the active elders present, come forward this morning. I see Teresa. She may be the only one. So Louise, see Louise. And Ed and Bill, if you'll come in instead.
Oh, Melly. Not to say it. I only get to see Anna, and I forget that she's here sometimes. But we would miss her if she wasn't here. Who is welcome at the Lord's table? All who trust in Jesus at their table. He died to pay for our sins and died to pay for us. And we put our faith in him. He said, "Forgive forgiven." We've offered our prayers for confession. We've heard the words from the psalmist, and we've sung a song about being a part of God's family. Children of the King, we come to this table and forgive us, people, trusting in Jesus. And we want to say, "Yes, we're trusting in you." We want to say to those around us, "Yes, we're trusting in Jesus." If you're trusting in Jesus, if you're trusting, you're invited and urged to eat and drink from his table. Lord God, it's with much humbleness and thanksgiving that we come before you. We have this bread. Something that we're familiar with, Lord, because we consume bread each day. This bread, Lord, on this table, it represents your body. You took the cup. You said, "Use it to express the divine." Let these morsels, Lord, through them, we might experience you again in our life. In Christ's name. Please eat the bread, remembering his sacrifice for you. Lord God, the cup reminds us of your Son's shed blood. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to give your blood for the remission of our sins. Let this cup, Lord, be in us a renewal of your living presence. We pray in your holy name. Elders, you have received. Go and share. People of God, as you receive, share with those near you. Lord God, again, we offer to you our humble thanks.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 and 6. 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Something that I have no first-hand experience about.
I think you already knew that.
I
have not been there.
But we do have some evidence that's shared by one who had not yet been there, but he got a glimpse of heaven.
How long has it been since you heard a sermon on heaven? At least from this pulpit. Not for the last 19 and a half years, at least, in my memory. We referred to it, I think. But my memory does not remind me or allow me to remember that I have preached on it in some time. You have in your insert with the outline, you also have 5-4, or you might call it 5 passages of Scripture concerning heaven. Now, that's not everything, even in Revelation, the book of Revelation about heaven. I would encourage you, as you read this, to read the passages before these and the passages after these. And if you are a little confused by some of it, you're not the only one. And even those who think that they have all the answers, somebody right down the street from them will say, "No, that's really not the meaning of it." But we do have some basic evidence that there can be little confusion about, or so it seems to me. We need to know about heaven. We need to think about heaven. And maybe I've been wrong in not speaking of it more. I believe that we need to deal a lot with living in this world, being ready for heaven, and not just think about that great day somewhere down the road. I want to call your attention to the experience of heaven, or the, if you call it an experience, if it's a place, I can't guarantee that, but it sounds like a place. And I want to invite people to prepare to go to heaven. The alternative is so uninviting. Sulfur and fire. And fire mixed with sulfur. We did that for our chicken house, in our chicken house once when I was growing up on the farm. And it was to kill mice. chicken mites, and that was an awful smell, and just the smell would be bad enough to keep me out of the alternative to heaven. Do we have any country music people with us this morning? I know we do. You live in this area, you about half of you will say, I don't have anything to do with country music. The others will say, man, I listen to it all the time. And I listen and I don't listen. I listen and I don't listen. So one song that I've heard a lot, even has become kind of a standard for funerals, is Holes in the Floor of Heaven. And if I've listened correctly, I have a problem of listening to songs and songs that I heard growing up. I hear them now, and the oldest stations, and I'll say, hey, that's what they're talking about. And Carol will say, yeah, didn't you know that? As we're driving down the road. So I may not be listening like I should, but I understand that Holes in the Floor of Heaven is a song about a person, someone who has died and gone to heaven. And they're looking back on the loved ones that they left behind, those who are still here on earth. And possibly the song was written to help us to be better people, because we know, or that song suggests, that those who have gone on before us can look back on us. Now, theologically, I'm not sure how valid that thought is. It's a good thought, but I'm not sure what the Bible says about that. Maybe that'll be one of the questions we could discuss on Wednesday night if y'all choose to participate in a Wednesday night service. This message today, though, is not about looking back from heaven. This message is about getting a glimpse of heaven from where we are. And that's all we can expect, I think. Just get a glimpse of it. Kind of like when Moses wanted to see God, and he just got a glimpse of God. He wanted to see him face to face. He thought, could he have stood to go face to face with the living God? The Bible indicates that he could not have, but he got a glimpse of him, and then only of God's backside. He never got this face-to-face encounter with God while he was on earth. And as we read these passages from Revelation, we understand that we will have a face-to-face encounter with God in that next life. I said I don't have first-hand knowledge of heaven, but we do have knowledge of what others have said about it. And we believe, and I believe, that what's written in the Bible was inspired by God. Now, there may be many, many, many interpretations of that. What do we talk about by inspired by God? But I believe that God spoke to the minds of these who wrote, and they spoke it, and somebody put it on paper for us. Be it John, be it Paul, or be it a secretary writing on their behalf. Jesus said, John wrote this down, the same John that wrote Revelation. Jesus said that he was going to prepare a place for us. And then he would come back, when he got that place prepared, he would come back and get us. That's not on the outline. Outline was prepared before the sermon was prepared or completed. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and he would come back to get us. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. And he would take us to be with him, so that where he was, or he is, we could be also. John chapter 14, the first few verses. The Apostle Paul, I still believe that Paul had a death wish. He wanted to get out of this world. He wanted to go and enjoy the near presence of God and face to face with God, or so it seems as you read many of his writings. He was also very concerned about living for Jesus while he was on this earth, that he would be prepared for that next life. He was very emphatic about it's through faith in Jesus as our Savior, his death, burial, and resurrection as the way to heaven. Faith in Jesus as the way to heaven. We couldn't earn it, but we could live a life here on earth that glorified God. But he also talked a lot about going to heaven, the resurrected body. He talked about Jesus coming back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. And I read that over and over and over at the committal service. I read it at many times. At each committal service, read it once. For a burial. Lest people request something else. Most of the time I read that one. Also in 1 Corinthians, he talks about the resurrected body. And the body that will go to heaven. And then in 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, the end of chapter 4, the beginning of chapter 5, another great funeral sermon that I preached more than once. And it's a reference to heaven. He speaks, he even uses the word heaven, and he speaks of his anticipation of being there with the Lord. Really no different. His anticipation was no different than Moses wanting to see God face to face on earth. Except Paul was wanting to go be with God. That was the difference. And Moses wanted to see him while he was here on earth. He wanted to be at home with the Lord. Or he wanted to get on to heaven, get out of this life. And Paul had so much difficulty even in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can see why he wanted to get on out of this life. It was tough. He was run out of town after town for preaching the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus. And they'd run him out of town. And he'd go to another town and he'd preach and he'd get a group of people gathered with him and listening. And then people from that previous town would come over there and stir them up. And then this town would turn against him and run him out. So he had a tough time, but he kept on at it. He didn't give up. He knew the importance of sharing the good news of Jesus, or how to get to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. So he kept on and kept on and kept on. I have printed four passages from the book of Revelation, the revelation of John the Evangelist. It was a vision, you might say. He saw. And I mentioned that, I think, 2 weeks ago. From his revelations, a revelation, I put an S on it, but supposed to, but from his revelation, or from his vision, and what he has shared with us, we get a glimpse, and only a glimpse, of what heaven is like, or what it will be like in heaven. And I hear people trying to dictate what heaven is like. Well, I don't want to go unless so-and-so is going to be there. Or I don't want to go. Well, I think it would be wise to say whatever God prepared for us is going to be good if we're his people. And we need to let him choose what heaven is going to be like. We didn't get to choose this life like we wanted it. We didn't get to choose our looks. Well, somehow, but that's very expensive, is it not? We didn't get to choose our size. Well, some could have. I guess we chose to go back for a second helping. I did, and kept going back yesterday, and tried to go back again, and they were sold out, I think. So thank y'all anyway. But thanks for those people who bought and sold out. I didn't increase my size yesterday. That means, okay. But, we don't need to tell God how to fix heaven, or what heaven is like. God knows what we need. We haven't figured that one out. I still remember Brother Yandell from down in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, when he would pray. Oh, he was a saint, but he would pray. He'd say, "Now, Lord, you And he would tell the Lord what to do.
Now, Lord,
and whatever he wanted, he'd just tell him what to do. And actually, he was asking, but us younger fellows, it would sound like he was demanding that God submit to his wishes.
And I think God said, Brother Yandale, I'll do it like I want to. I know how to do it. But it sounded, every time we'd hear Brother Yandale pray, us younger preachers to be in his presence, we'd say, yeah, there he goes telling God what to do again.
Maybe that was too disrespectful. Chapter 21.
And that's probably the most familiar passage in Revelation, or at least out of these four
concerning heaven. So I've chosen that one, maybe because it is the most familiar, at least to me. But if you'll take your little outline, and I think you can open it up if you will, and we can look at some passages about heaven. They're all right there. Small print, I know, but we try to get it on one page, if you will. Let's look at Revelation 5, verses 11 through 14. If you turn over to the additional scripture, the first one, and the first verse in that Revelation 5, 11 through 14, John says, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. How many has ever seen an angel? I mean, really seen an angel with the wings, etc., 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 here on earth? Anybody ever seen one? But we believe in them, don't we? The Bible teaches about them. When are we going to get to see them? Even where do they come from? Some people want to think it's children that's died. Well, don't believe the Bible teaches that. Special creation of God. God had the choice of creating any creature that he wanted to. He created angels. And we get to heaven, we'll get to see some. We'll get to see some. Actually, Satan was an angel, a rebellious angel, who wouldn't obey God and failed and rebelled against it. I guess if we go the opposite way from heaven, we'll get to see an angel at least. They talk about the devil and his angels, but we don't want to get into that today. I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands. The two angels that are mentioned most in the Bible. Who can tell me that? Michael and Gabriel. We just know those two names. Do we know any other angels' names? What does Gabriel do? What are we looking for him to do? Blow the horn. Blow the trumpet. Call us home. Michael is called the archangel. I'm not sure of the difference in the angel and the archangels. Okay, you've got the angels will be there. There'll be much worshiping. People say, don't like to go to church, don't like all this singing, blah, blah, blah. Don't like to sit in church. Guess what? Get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of it. You don't like it here, you're going to like it there? I don't know. Hopefully you will. Hope you have a change of heart. Hopefully you will. So, there'll be angels, there'll be worship, there'll be singing. We can't sing here. I hope I can sing in heaven. Went to singing last night. Saw Peggy this morning, she sang a solo, that safety zone. Stay in that safety zone, so we won't close out on heaven. Choir sang. Four choirs, five choirs, a bunch of choirs, individuals. Very good. Thank y'all. Then there will be singing to Jesus and singing about Jesus. Singing to Jesus and singing about Jesus. And I didn't put the verses up here. The singing, the worship is in verse 14. The singing is in verse 12. Just find that right down below your outline there. And then singing to and about Jesus is verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing to him
who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, to God the Father and God the Son, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And then the living creatures. The living creatures. See some living creatures other than angels, I guess.
Okay, if you'll move to Revelation 7, 9 through 17.
How many people are going to be in heaven? Just a handful? How about many people? Maybe more than people. If I read this, people want their puppy dogs to go to heaven? Is there a dog heaven or a heaven for dogs? Well, this passage says that every living creature, even that first passage from 5, every living creature, even creatures from the sea,
the great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb.
We're not going to worry about what we like when we get to heaven. It's not going to be what we like. Our attention is going to be to God and Jesus. He who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
God the Father and God the Son, Jesus being the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Many people there.
And not just hanging out. It's a good thing to do, just hang out. And not even working, but worshiping. Many people there in heaven worshiping.
Worshiping God. Not worshiping each other. Worshiping God. They fell down on their faces saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
Then one said, "Who are these in white robes?" And these were the ones who were martyred. There have been many martyrs for the cause of Christ, multitudes, and then many of them. These are the ones who have martyred and came out of the great tribulation. I'm not ready yet to talk about the great tribulation. Still waiting on God to reveal it all to me. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are all before the throne of God and serve Him.
And then, a time or an experience of blessings. Verse 15, 16, and 17. Spread a tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. We don't have to worry about food and drink. The sun will not beat on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You ever cry?
Men don't like to admit it, but sometimes we do. Really, tears kind of flush the soul, do you not? Or flush the spirit. Won't be any tears there. There will not be any tears. And then, move to chapter 21, verse 6. There's a new Jerusalem coming down out of the heavens. And how is that going to happen? That's one of the things that's certain about the Word of God. How is going to bring the Holy Spirit down out of the heavens? Can't figure that one out. Going to have sky hooks to hold it up? No. God will take care of that. God will take care of that. Verse 2. The groom and the bride, like a bride coming down to be married. A beautiful life in verse 4. Beautiful life. You see it in verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And then all things. Verse 5 tells us, all things new. I sat out in a man's truck yesterday. It was raining and we were trying to get to my vehicle. And I jumped, and he stopped and said, "Get in." I said, "Yes, but I'm wet." He said, "Get in anyway." And new truck smell. Don't it smell good? Especially compared to one that's been mildewed and sitting out a long time. Well, all things new, but newer than a new truck. It smells better than a new truck. Then Revelation 21, verse 10 through 22, verse 5. Description of heaven, and you're just going to have to read that one. The physical description. There's glory of God. Bright glory of God. There are jewels of all kinds. There are walls. There are gates. There are angels. There's water. There's water. Heaven. I want to go there. I joined the Apostle Paul in wanting to go there. I'm not sure that I'm as anxious to go as Paul was, but I want to go there. How do we get there? Through Jesus. Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father but through me." By trusting Jesus as our Savior, making Him Lord of our life. Through any of us, any of you, need to take a step today. That step being trust Jesus. Trust Him. His death on the cross to be payment for your sin. Turn your sin over to Him. Invite Him into your life. Closing song is really an upbeat song for an invitation song. But it adds to the message. Soon and very soon. It's 5:51. Sam, I'll let you choose the verses. 5:51. Let's stand together and sing. And if one has a desire to come forward and express their faith in Jesus, you're certainly invited. Every single promises through the generation. And thank you for Jesus who came to take us to heaven. We do trust Him. Help us to share that trust. Share Jesus with all that He gives us. The name of Jesus.
a shepherd and does not own the sheep. See, the wolf is coming. He leaves the sheep and runs away. So the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired man runs away because he is only a hired man.